This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Record with Zhivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, Foreign Currency, RF Bank and Trust, Raw Star Assurance, and Scotiabank.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. The U.S. Embassy is in the news today, making some comments on the state of affairs in the country. The chargé d'affaires, you always have as head of mission a chargé if you don't have a sitting ambassador. And so she is the most senior person at the U.S. Embassy here in the Bahamas. And she said yesterday that she has no concern that the Bahamas is unsafe for Americans, and explained that the embassy recently updated its travel advisory on the Bahamas to ensure that U.S. citizens are made aware of what is happening in the country. She said at a press conference yesterday, according to an article written in The Guardian by Tanika Thompson, that she had not the least concern. All right, that's the U.S. Embassy. As a matter of fact, you know, it is amazing to me. I had this conversation with Candia Dames, who was pointing out the fact that there had been some U.S. media reading into the U.S. Embassy's travel advisory things that were, in fact, not true about the advisory, because the advisory did not elevate the threat level to U.S. citizens in the Bahamas at all. It was their routine updating, necessarily pointing out the state of play, but no increase in the threat level at all. And so even some of us in the Bahamas, we see the advisory being issued and then we go and get alarmed in the same kind of way without putting it into any historic context, without understanding and appreciating whether in fact it changed in relation to anything else, and so forth. And I think that anyone who is aware of what is happening and has been happening in the country today can confirm that it doesn't represent any extraordinary or unusual threat to visitors to the Bahamas, U.S. citizens or not. The vast majority of us Bahamians, it does not represent a threat to, but it certainly concerns us, troubles us, aches us, etc. And so we are naturally and necessarily concerned about it and want to see sufficient effort taken to alleviate it. But it was wonderful for the U.S. Embassy to bring some context to the situation. I'm sure they are, and if there was any extraordinary threat to their citizens, they would have said so and would have taken measures to sufficiently warn their citizens about it. But they came forward and clarified the situation so that, you know, people could put it into some context. And she isn't saying there isn't an issue and there isn't cause for concern. But what she is saying is that they are not concerned about American citizens being at risk. Of course, naturally, you would advise them to take necessary precautions, as they would have to take when they traveled generally and what have you. And so that's from the U.S. Embassy. All right. I was talking to somebody about this situation. Some people who are knowledgeable, people who are police officers and the like, about this situation. And it is a situation with context. It is a situation that has a relatively known genesis in terms of some of the factors motivating it, and that is useful to understanding the situation. Okay, I mean, you can say a whole lot about this situation, and some of the things that you might say about the situation ain't gonna be so helpful to some of the people involved in the situation. By that I mean that, you know, it would be downright offensive, maybe be offensive to them regarding their behavior, conduct, and participation, you know, but it is what it is. Dr. Dwayne Sands said something that I want to bounce off here. He says that you can't public relations your way out of this crime problem. You can't public relations your way out of this crime problem. He says some number of things I'm going to get to, but he said that you can't do that, you know? That you know, it's a serious matter and you can't public relations your way out of it. Now, Clearly, he is intimating that the Prime Minister and his team may be seeking to do some things that provide the semblance of strategy. He says, this is Dr. Dwayne Sands, the chairman of the Free National Movement. He says their strategy is public relations, speeches, spin, walkabouts, and rushed legislation. And so I say, as I said before, the Prime Minister's crime speech and plan was a glitzy brochure filled with slogans. Just like their violence interrupter program that they promised almost 2 years ago that never got off the ground. Much of what the Prime Minister is promising will amount to nothing because public relations won't solve crime. Because public relations won't solve crime. So let me start with that. Not in the context that he is criticizing the Prime Minister and his team, but in the context of the reality of that statement. Public relations will not solve crime. What is public relations? Public relations is an effort to put forward a message, a posture to the public that positively builds a rapport, a relationship between you and the public. Right? So if you do public relations correctly, what happens is the public feels better about you and forms an alliance with you that that says, you know what, I am with you. That's public relations. Marketing is broader. Marketing is product development. You know, marketing is a strategic placement of your product in the marketplace. It is an assessment of what your competitors are doing and how you might respond to their competitive actions strategically. So marketing is deeper and broader than that. Right? Some people say, like, public relations is like dressing up a rock to look like a diamond. And marketing is getting a diamond out of the rock, polishing it and presenting it in the marketplace as a thing of value. And so public relations, you know, which could be advertisements, could be speechifying, could be glossy brochures and flyers and social media handles, all that kind of stuff could be an effort to present life in a certain way that creates in the mind of the public that things are headed in this direction, things are going in this way. It can be true or it can be untrue, what public relations are seeking to do. And Dr. Sands makes a point, public relations won't solve crime. Why wouldn't it? Why would it? Why would, if I make you feel better about what I'm doing about crime, do I really solve crime? Let's suppose by some means, Shivago Lang was able to get on this radio and say words, do things that at the end of the day, you go, I feel better. Yeah, man, I believe Lang and I feel better. And then we have 4 murders tomorrow, but you say, but I feel better because I listen to Lang and I feel better. And then the next day we have 4 murders and I say, but I see you feel better. Does your feeling better actually solve crime? And that's the point that Mr. Dr. Sands is making. Now, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. So some people want the prime minister to go and put on camouflage, fatigue, get out there and show people that he's serious, he's focused. They want him to stop traveling. Tell the people, no, I can't travel now. I got to stay home because I got a crime problem. Is that public relations or is that solving crime? Dr. Sand says, the prime minister, we got a serious crime problem, but he in Uganda. Well, isn't Dr. Sands also saying then that the prime minister shouldn't be traveling to Uganda? He should be here at home trying to solve the crime problem. If the prime minister didn't go to Uganda and stayed at home, would that be solving the crime problem? How? Or would it be doing something that makes the public feel better about the fact that he is doing something? Would it not be public? So, if the prime minister didn't go to a meeting, why do we assume that he'd be home actually doing something? Doing what? What would he be doing? This is the prime minister of the whole Bahamas. He's got a national security minister. He's got ministers that are a collective grouping of a cabinet. He's got a commissioner of police, deputy commissioners of police. He's got a defense. He's got all these people. And we got murder happening. None of them could stop the murder. But if the prime minister stopped traveling, put on some fatigue, get out there for a few weeks, boom, bang, problem solved. Is that so? Or is that public relations? Let's see if we can figure this out. What's going to happen? What's going to happen is they're going to see the prime minister ain't traveling. This is the criminals now. And say, you know what, that beef I ever did do it. Wait, you on by the prime minister. I've got a fatigue on and he ain't traveling to Uganda. And therefore, man, I ain't going to take nobody out. That's the reason he's going to not do it. Because he's serious now. That's what. Forget the commissioner of police have a uniform on. Forget all of the deputies of uniforms on. Forget all the superintendents and inspectors. Forget the thousands of corporals and constables have uniforms on. That ain't stopping them. But you let the prime minister put a uniform on. And what if a prime minister put a uniform on, what does that mean? First of all, let me tell you something. A police officer, nobody can just put on a police uniform, you know. Did y'all realize that? A police uniform means that you have met and have been delegated a responsibility under law to wear that uniform and represent that authority in the constabulary of the Bahamas. You can't just put that uniform on. You put that uniform on, you will be accused of impersonating a police officer. So if a prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas put fatigue on, what does that mean? What are you now? You are a prime minister with fatigue on. What does that exactly mean? Are you an army man? Are you a policeman? If Shivago Line, who has had no pilot training in his life, puts on a pilot uniform, does that make me a pilot? Because I look like a pilot? No, man, you only can wear a uniform when your qualifications and delegation designate you for the wearing of that uniform. And it is not the uniform alone that brings you the repute. It is the training that makes you qualifiable for the uniform and the backing of the state that puts you there. The prime minister and all of his team are civilians. They are civilians. The commissioner and all of his officers are not civilians. And it is the anticipation and expectation and the law that they are supposed to be managed by civilians, not police officers. The head of the police force is the commissioner. But the head of them are civilians. And that is as it should be. When you put on a uniform, what are you transforming into, a police officer or a civilian? Public relations will not solve the crime problem. It will not. If public relations could solve the crime problem, listen to me. You can't get more public relations than political parties. Oh, Lord, political parties get public relations. Political parties? And I have to tell you, y'all get mad with me all you want. You get mad with me all you want. In my experience, the Free National Movement can never out public relations, the Progressive Liberal Party, never. I don't know why it is, but the Progressive Liberal Party is really astute at public relations. They are, and I'm not. That's not a criticism at all. It is a fact to me of my observation. And I am sure if they thought that they could solve crime through public relations, I am sure they would be very successful at it. You cannot. You cannot, right? You have to solve problems with actual solutions. That's how you do it. You could imagine you get cancer and the doctor tell you, listen, man, what we need to do, and the doctor put up this glossy brochure about how well you are. Doctor go on the air and talk of how well you are. Doctor go out and, just put up billboards to say how well you are. Could you imagine that? You think that could stop the cancer? You think so? No, man. It may make you feel good. But But problems require real solutions. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take our first break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Burger King Nassau gives you everything you love in a Whopper, plus more with the new Texas Double Whopper. Sink your teeth into two juicy quarter-pound flame-grilled patties, delicious bacon, sliced jalapenos, yellow mustard, melted cheese, plus all the fixings you love, served on a soft sesame seed bun. Try it in a classic combo with fries and a drink at any of our seven locations. But hurry, because the new Texas Double Whopper is only available for a limited time, and only at Burger King Nassau.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Wednesday, March 8th, 2024 is International Women's Day. Guardian Media wants all Bahamians to truly inspire inclusion. It's not just something we should say or something we should write about. It's something we need to think about, know, and embrace. It's what we should believe in unconditionally. This International Women's Day, Guardian Media wants you and your company to inspire inclusion. Celebrate the women in your organization this International Women's Day by placing them in an ad in our International Women's Day supplement. For more information, call 302-2300 or contact your account executive. The aim of the International Women's Day 2024 campaign is to collectively forge a more inclusive world for women. International Women's Day, Wednesday, March 8th, 2024. Inspire inclusion.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Ulang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us at 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Dr. San says public relations will not solve crime. This text says no one can beat the PLP at public relations. They win hands down. Now, frankly, I'm saying that's not a criticism. I mean, my observation of the PLP is they can assemble a masterful team of persons to do public relations. And if you are a government party, you need public relations. So I don't want anybody walk away thinking I'm trying to be critical of the Progressive Party. But if I had to measure their efforts, now mind you, in 1992, I think the FNM had them. Oh, the FNM had them. I think in 92, the FNM had them. I think the FNM's product was better, but I also think the FNM's public relations was better too. Even in 1997, do you remember better? So the FNM has its period, but I think as a general statement, that's what I'm saying. Now, can I say, I do not care if the Prime Minister travels to events to which he has been invited along with his fellow colleagues. I don't care. I really don't. I don't care. I don't think the prime minister's actual physical presence is the problem. Okay? Because you have major corporations in the world being run by one CEO, and they got branches all over the world. All over the world. What matters more than his physical presence is his intellectual and leadership presence on the machinery of governance, no matter where in the world he is. The president of the United States travels, he's able to run the U.S. government from Air Force One. Why? What matters is his strategic intent, his intellectual girth. What matters is his ability to direct the forces and factors at his disposal to apply themselves to the solutions and problem solving of the nation. That's what matters more. And this day and age, you could be anywhere on planet Earth and do that. So not, I'm not concerned about whether he's in Uganda or Nigeria. What I am, because you could be in the Bahamas and ain't there nothing. You'd be in the Bahamas and things still just as is. We've seen that before, right? We've seen leadership in the Bahamas and the problem still prevailed, right? In fact, we've seen these issues coming up where the murders happen and the prime minister's at home. Right? So that's not, so his travel, you know, again, those kinds of things to me are issues of public relations. That's in our own heads, that's what that's about. Right? That's not real leadership. Real leadership is not that. Real leaders can have their presence felt from anywhere. Sometimes in leadership, you can't be many places. You, Nelson Mandela, in trying to wrestle power from the apartheid regime in South Africa, couldn't be everywhere. So what did he do? He took to the airwaves, made speeches. So it don't matter. That doesn't matter. And he traveled a lot trying to get his message across. So I don't trouble myself about where the prime minister is. What I trouble myself with is what the prime minister is doing. What is he doing? What is he? How is he leading? What are his policy measures that he is articulating and enforcing in respect of the governance of the country? That's what I concern myself with. And he could do that from anywhere on the planet Earth. When Mr. Ingram was in Europe, Mr. Ingram called me 2 o'clock in the morning and he said, "Shivago, we are going to be presenting on this bill tomorrow and I want you to take the lead on that," so forth and so forth. I said, "Mr. Prime Minister, you know, you realize it's 2 o'clock in the morning." He said, "Well, it ain't 2 o'clock in the morning where I am." Oh, he wanted the job done. So that's not what really troubles me. What troubles me is whether or not we are doing effective things. That's a different dialogue. That's a different debate. Now, let me tell you something. If you're the opposition, listen to me. Don't get vexed with me. Don't get mad with me. If you're the Free National Movement today, take note of history. Things were done in history. Things were said in history. Things were promised in history. And when the opportunity presented itself to do something in history, people found themselves up against it. So it is important for the opposition now to posture itself in a way that doesn't merely public relations the crime problem. Let me say something here. Get mad at me again. I hear people say all the time, we shouldn't make crime a political issue. Man, y'all stop talking nonsense. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Don't make crime a political issue. First of all, whenever governance is involved, whenever government is involved, whenever politicians are involved, the issue is political. Period. It is a political issue. Period. That's just the very nature of things. You say, "Well, don't make it partisan political." When? When? If you are a political party, FNM, PLP, DNA, when is it not going to be a partisan political issue? You believe that things should be approached this way. Others believe that things should be approached that way. You believe that the way you are approaching it is not right. Others believe that the way you propose to approach it is not right. When is it not going to be a partisan political issue when, as an entity, you are partisan? You are PLP, FNM, DNA, and COI, and so forth. When are you not going to be partisan? Stop being delusional. Come on, man. Of course it's a political issue. What you shouldn't do is be stupid. You shouldn't be irrational. You shouldn't be ignorant. You shouldn't present foolishness. But if your criticism is substantive and reasonable and rational, if your proposals are substantive and reasonable and rational, who cares that it's partisan? Who cares? What difference does it make? My doctor was partisan. My doctor, I asked Dr. Roberts. I said, Dr. Roberts, every piece of information I get says that radiation versus surgery is 6 of 1 and half a dozen of the other, that the results really are not different on the margins. That's my every piece of information. I said, why then would you and or others present to me surgery as the option? I also asked a radiologist that, why they present radiology as an option. You know what they said to me? So, well, you know, you're right in that, to be honest, the results are essentially the same. There is no real distinguishable difference, except maybe on the margins, depending on the patient. But if I'm a surgeon, I am comfortable with the method of treatment that I am comfortable with, so I present surgery as that option. If I'm a radiologist, I present radiology as the option for treatment. So, in other words, I am partisan to my professional judgment. So who cares? That's what I care about is whether their treatment is going to be effective for my ailment. So I'm sorry I can't join all of you with, oh, we shouldn't make this political. I hear the PLP say it, I hear the FNM players. Yeah, please. From Sir Lyndon was prime minister, crime has been a partisan, politically presented issue in the country. When the FNM was in opposition, it presented it as a partisan political issue, even making statements that it can break the back of crime. FNM said that. When the FNM came to office, the PLP made it a partisan political issue, calling out this and calling out that, and doing things that try to say to the public, we could solve this, but the FNM couldn't, and look what's happening. There ain't a change. And I'm not even asking it to change. I wouldn't do some of the things that some of the folk did. If the FNM decided to put up billboards today talking about murder, I would condemn the FNM. I would think that is foolish. But if the FNM criticizes the government for its handling of the crime matter, so that's their job, from the law and opposition. And if the PLP criticized the opposition for statements it makes or criticize its tenure in respect of crime, that's fair too. Not concerned about those things. What I'm concerned about is the intellectual girth, the intellectual value, the substantiveness of, the validity of the thoughts you present on the matter. That's what we should be judging. Does it make sense? Do you sound sensible? Do you sound reasonable? That is what I think it should be. This text says, great show as usual. I personally don't mind the PM traveling, but he fly more than Fred. That's a problem. And he rock up twice more than Fred. So Mr. Lang, 2 o'clock in the morning is too early to call any black person we grew up. Call people house before 11, man. Yeah. This text says, see, you're a father and a husband with a family. The family is sick and dealing with a crisis. Both the wife and kids would rightly think it irresponsible and insensitive for you to be globetrotting. Similarly, the PM is the father of the nation, the family. The family is sick and dealing with a crime crisis, and it is also irresponsible and insensitive to be globetrotting at this time, which is Dr. Sands and family's point, not that Dr. Sands is the wife. I hear you, that sounds cute, etc., but you said, I am a husband and a family man, right? Bro, let me be real. I have traveled when my family has been sick before, okay? It depends on the circumstance. Let's be real, man. Let's be real. This nation ain't dying. We're still coming to this nation. What tourist comes to a nation in crisis? Come on, man. Let's get real. We have a problem. There's no question but that. The nonsense talk. The prime minister can't travel to an event to represent the country. You so bad off. You that bad off? Let me ask you a question. You still getting out? You still moving around in this awful family crisis? Talking you nonsense. Bahamians are still traveling. Going to Walmart and Marshall's to shop. Listen, y'all stop talking nonsense. Come on, man. I understand Dr. Sands's point, but let's be real. Listen, man, it's a political point. I ain't criticizing him for it. But it ain't, to me, I'm saying that for real, what I would say is, I would say this. Right? If I'm criticizing, I say, listen, bro, you're traveling, but I have not seen from you, and I suspect Dr. Sands said some of that, I haven't seen from you things that are moving the needle on this issue. Okay, I could buy that. But don't tell me if he stopped traveling and solved the problem. Nonsense. When he's in the country, the problem is persisting. When Mr. Ingram, Hubert Alexander Ingram, my prime minister, man I admire, and by my prime minister, I mean at the time that he was in government, he was the prime minister, was in office, crime went skyrocketing. Remember that? He wasn't globetrotting, as you say, Prime Minister Davis is doing. He was not. The crime went skyrocketing, and this Hubert Ingram, a man who knows how to get things done. Remember Mr. Davis, in response to the crime problem, put up all these billboards? Remember that? But Prime Minister Ingram was in the country, on the ground. God, let's be real, man. Seriously? Saying 9-1-1, President Bush was seen at Ground Zero mourning with those who mourn and weeping with those who wept. He was encouraging the first responders. He was traveling the world. This current crime crisis is our Ground Zero. Where should our prime minister be? Nonsense talk. Nonsense talk. This is not no 9-1-1. Nonsense talk. Nonsense talk. Do you know what 9-1-1 was? I was stuck in Brussels. In the airport in Brussels on 911, could not move because the airplanes would not fly. Let's stop talking nonsense, man. All right? We are making, you know what you're doing is like? Your child get a serious gash in their leg. Not serious. You are treating it like the leg was cut off. Absolute nonsense. Nonsense. I'm not going to let you all do that to this country. You have the U.S. Embassy coming out and talking about life in a way you yourself refuse to talk about it. You yourself will not talk about your own situation the way they will. Why? You think the United States of America would want its citizens to come to a place where you said it's like 911? Man, stop talking nonsense. The U.S. borders was closed down for weeks because of 911. No, let's stop getting irrational about these things, man. It is serious, no doubt. But let's be real, right? I'm not gonna participate in PLP propagandizing about the matter, or public relations about the matter. I'm not going to participate in FNM or any opposition propagandizing or public relations about the matter. And that's not what I'm saying that Dr. Dwayne Sands is saying. I think he's quite right when he says public relations ain't gonna solve this problem. You know, question about that. But public relations happens both ways. Not my point. Right? We want to see meaningful action, whether the prime minister in the country or not. Now, I don't disagree with you that it don't look good that he in Uganda and this is happening, but that's public relations. That's not effective problem solving. That's public relations. The look good. He stays home here and you feel better. Okay, one thing. That'll solve the murder. The next murder won't happen because you feel better. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
The RF Economic Outlook returns on March 13th at Bomar under the theme Age of Intelligence, Harnessing the Power. Hear from the expert speakers on AI, how it's impacting our daily lives, the threats and opportunities that abound. Join over 200 professionals at the networking event of the year as we explore this and more global trends impacting local businesses. Reserve your seat today to take advantage of early bird discounts before they're gone. Register now at rfbeo.com.
Foreign Currency brings you the African Giant live in concert. Burna Boy. Burna Boy performing live Saturday, February 17th, taking place at Clifford Park. Also performing Rich Homie Quan, 38 Afri, Joe Capone, Max Civelli, and more. Spillgate 2024. Get tickets now. This one is a must that you're there.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So let's recap from the first hour. Dr. Sands, the chairman of the Free National Movement, said, you cannot solve crime through public relations. I 100% agree with him. 100%. I don't care how good you make it look, how good you sound, how wonderful your glossaries are about what you say you're going to do. Dang, it's all no crime. I agree with that 100%. Right? Secondly, though, the prime minister's presence in the country, Angus all prime either. Many crimes happen while the prime minister is at home. Over administrations, crime has been going up in the country. Murders have been going up in the country, and the prime minister has been home. I recall the tenure in which I served with the prime minister of the Bahamas, Hubert Alexander Ingram, crime was hitting new levels, and the crime went up. Remember Prime Minister Christie? Prime Minister Christie did not travel a lot. He did not. He's probably, I believe Prime Minister Christie was the least traveling prime minister in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And he had the worst crime situation in terms of murder. The worst. If you look at the numbers, he had the worst. Right? So you know, that didn't solve it, that he was here. Dr. Minnis wasn't able to travel a lot, largely because of the pandemic, and did not do a lot before the pandemic, but he did have success in terms of the reduction in murders in under his tenure. You think that was because he was in the country? Really? Seriously? Okay, you think that because for other factors, right? I am going to be having a guest with me, a very special guest soon, about this issue, that we can get some insight into this matter. So I don't think that that's what solves it. I think Dr. Sands is right when he says speechifying ain't gonna do it. Glossaries ain't gonna do it. He's saying, you know, that you have to have effective solutions to the problem. Now, let's be real, man. The prime minister could be here. He could be elsewhere. It doesn't matter. If you have the effective solutions, that's what's going to do it. Now, do we have those? Do we have those effective solutions? That's the issue. What is there that the prime minister has said, that the commissioner has said, that the minister of national security has said, or more importantly, doing that will bring relief to the situation? What is that? Do you know? I'm asking you, do you know what is there that you have heard? So the prime minister has given a national address. Others have given a national, others have spoken. What is it that you have heard that gives you confidence, comfort, that things will get better? Now, I can tell you all one thing. In my experience, it isn't sometimes the things that are said, but it's the things that's not said that gets the most results. And commissioners of police and police officers ain't stupid. Can I tell you all again? Commissioners of police and police officers ain't stupid. Them brethren and sistren, they know how to do some things they ain't gonna tell you about to get some results. So we might not know. We might not know. Right? This text says, people are being murdered on our streets with an indifference beyond killing a pot cake, and you compare it to a gash in the leg, my brother. That is absolute incongruent and incomparable nonsense. Those murdered bear the image of God. They are not a gash. First of all, my friend, all you're being is emotional. Okay? Absolute nonsensely emotional. Of course people are being murdered. So people have been murdered in this country for years. For years. For years. You are concerned. Tell me what you are doing. Tell me what you are doing. You are so concerned, so moved. What are you doing, right? Well, your emotions prove nothing, do nothing. I have a youth program. For 12 years in this country, I have been recruiting 11 and 12th grade students to teach leadership skills to. I speak to young people all over the Bahamas, been invited to do so, et cetera. Mentor as much as I can. This ain't nothing new. The intensity to some degree in this period, new, strangely new. But you're coming down here to try to get all fantastic about you are telling me about gash, and you comparing things to wife and children, and your joke is, sans is the wife. And that's a joke. You have a smiley face. Listen to me, bro. Check yourself. Check yourself, right? Get out your feelings. Get out your feelings. Right? No amount of emotionalism is going to resolve this issue. And no amount of false panic or false sense of urgency is going to solve this problem. Because I'm sure when you're sitting down watching TV, NBA or something else like that, there's the same thing going on. By the way, I just received a notice that says there may have been another murder in the country. Says, breaking news, murder 25. Police have confirmed that a man has been shot dead on Hospital Lane. The murder count now stands at 25. All right? At 25. What's going to resolve that? What's going to resolve that? Another speech by the Prime Minister? He made the speech. What's going to resolve it? Another walkabout? They did a walkabout. What's going to resolve that? Another National Day of Prayer? We did that. What's going to resolve it? Tell me. Another traffic stoppage? What's going to resolve it? Another text by you saying how it's like a wife being home? What's going to resolve it? The Prime Minister staying home? He's going to come back from Uganda. What do you think? He's going to come back and no more murders is going to happen? Oh, man. So, Mr. Lang, just out of curiosity, can you say which period month had the most incidents of murder in recent history? I do not have the stats by month, but I cannot believe that any period in our history has looked like this one. I don't have those month-by-month stats, but I do not believe it is possible to find another period in our history over the course of now 5 weeks where 25 murders has happened. I don't think. 5 weeks, 25 murders. If we continued at that pace, 25 weeks, where would we be? Right? Where would we be? We would be at essentially 260 murders in the year if we continued at that pace. Remarkable. His text says, that's what I thought. January must have been a record. I believe it was. I do not have the number to confirm it, but I do not recall a period more substantially difficult than this one. And that's why I say, this ain't about camouflage. This is not about travel. This is not about dramatic speechifying or notion of how dire the situation is. That's not how leaders approach matters. You see generals confronted by horrific circumstances in war. They don't have time to be public relations in life, or have time to be sitting around getting all melodramatic about it. They have to figure out how strategically they can best deal with the situation. That's what they have to do. That's the thing that matters most. Policy has to be about targeting the problem from the point of view of its cause and producing remedies believed the best capable of getting at that issue. And I submit to you that a part of the government's problem today is that there is not yet the confidence, there is not yet the presentation that that is what has happened. National Day of Prayer, I'm not going to bite you. I'm not going to resist you on a National Day of Prayer. No. Praying, okay. Walkabouts, not going to resist you on walkabouts. Not going to resist you. A five-point plan about how to address crime. Not going to fight you on it. But look what has happened since. You say, well, it takes time. Yeah, of course it's going to take time. But to be honest with you, man, we've been walking this particular road, doing these particular things for some time. And look at what has been the result. Since 1963, the murder rate in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has been rising. From 1963, decade to decade. There is something at the base of our society in respect of a subculture of people in our country, young black males in Nassau, that has been persistently headed in the direction of murder and violence as a means of dealing with issues. Something. Can I say that again? For decades, there has been a persistent, continuous increase in the willingness of a group of young black males, in particular in the majority in the mean in New Providence, who are willing to use violence as a means of dealing with whatever issue they have. And more of them, it seems, are prepared to do so, and more of them are prepared to do it in the most graphic and bold, emboldened way. What solves that? What corrects that? What adjusts that? Is the question. That's the question. What does it? Now, you're the government? Listen to me. You're the government, man. You got money to buy expertise. You got influence to invite expertise, whether in the Bahamas or elsewhere in the world. You, the government of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, you have power to do things within the constitutional realities of the country. You are the government. You, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, you've got power. You're the opposition. You're preparing to have power. How would you use it if you had it? What would you do? Listen. If you're the opposition, listen, I know you can take your time to put a point here and put a point there, but guess what your job is? Preparation. Think through the issue. Spend some time, spend some money, buy some expertise so that you can ready and prepare yourself and present yourself to the public as an option to do so. Huh? Listen, man, the Bible says he beareth not the sword in vain. Talking about the government, you know. You got power. They say in the church, power. You got power. There's nothing worse on planet Earth than an impotent power. Nothing worse than an impotent power. The power to stop burden? No, I don't believe that because altogether, because like I said, God ain't stop it. But there are ways to reduce it, though. Oh, there are ways to reduce it. There are ways to reduce it. You got power. Don't worry about public relations. The best public relations on planet Earth is results. The best marketing on planet Earth is results. That's the best marketing on public Earth, results. People don't buy Carnation Cream all the time because it don't taste good. Don't buy Kellogg's Corn Flakes because it don't taste good. Products that work, people buy. Right? That's the issue. Use your power, man. Use your power. Use your power. Listen, sit down and think. I have power. I have power. I have power. I have a whole constabulary. Thousands of men and women. Use your power. Use your power. I have the power of law. Use your power. I have the power of regulations. Use your power. Say, egotistical governments, don't want to admit that they are at a loss to what to do. Don't want to seek the assistance of those who may know, locally or internationally. I don't know. I don't know that that is true. I really don't know. I don't know that that is true. Maybe it may be. I don't know that that is true. All I'm saying is, you got power, man. That, you know, there's nothing. Why does a political party try to become the government? To take the reins of power. Power to do what? Power to govern. The Constitution says that the cabinet shall have general direction and control of the government. That's power. It's power. See what's in your hands. God said to Moses, what is in your hand? Pick up the rod, bro. Pick up the rod, sir. Pick up the rod, ma'am. Use your power. Use your power. It cannot be. Cannot be. It cannot be. It cannot be that in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, a few men impose their will and brand and stamp on the Bahamas indefinitely. Cannot be. Cannot be so. Every officer on the force in the Bahamas should be motivated to ensure that that is not so. And I believe the officers in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas are like, bro, they say, no. Well, if there's something you need and you've been in, you tell the people. That's what it's going to take, not public relations, not marketing. Right? It's going to take a strategic, effective use of power. That's what it's going to take. Where are you in? Uganda or not? An effective, strategic use of power. If I'm Prime Minister of the Bahamas, I tell you every single, until the problem is solved, wake up in the morning, whether I'm in Uganda, South Africa, United States, or the Bahamas. I'm waking up in the morning and I'm saying, in my hand is power. Lord God, and let me tell you all something. I ain't ashamed to tell you, I got a master's degree in business administration. I'm a chartered banker. I have a bachelor's degree in economics. I got all kind of education on planet Earth, secular education. I would say God Almighty, give me wisdom to use this power you have given to me in this hour. Give me wisdom. Show me how I am not applying it right. Show me where I should apply it. And then I'm going to sit with the people who have to use this power. And I'm going to ask them, listen, we have power. We are not impotent. We are not helpless. We are not helpless. Tell me what you think we can do with this power we have. What can we do? Oh, we need some additional help. Oh, call them from Eastern Europe, call them from Western Europe, call them from Asia, and ask them. You know, the Israelis are very good at these things. The Israelis are very good at these things. The Singaporeans, very good at these things. Very good. There are some places in the United States where they are very effective at these things. Call them. They can't come to you. You go to them. If it's a make, you looking for solutions. Use the power. Use the money. Spend the money. And you can't tell me nothing. Y'all know I know you got money. You know I know when you want to find the money, you know how to find the money. I've been in the Ministry of Finance. You ain't telling me you can't find the money. If you need to, you know just how to find the money. Spend the money, man. Spend the money. How many of you are with me? Spend the money. They just want to feel safe. They want an end to the massacre of men and women, no matter what their station is in life. They want to end to it. Spend the money. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suit your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I say beautiful Tuesday afternoon because I say every day is beautiful. Boy, the weather don't look too pleasant. The weather don't look too pleasant at all. Talking about the crime situation in the country. Spend the money. Spend that money. So let me show you something. You're the prime minister. You're going to Uganda. Well, you're on your way to Uganda or coming from Uganda. Is there a place in the world where you've seen them have effective programming for addressing crime? Singapore, someplace. Stop over, organize a meeting and talk to the people and see whether maybe there's a collaboration that could be done there. No, that make good sense. Spend the money. right? Maybe there's some local expertise in the crime fighting business, but they haven't been typically Progressive Liberal Party supporters. But they have capability. Engage them. Engage them. Spend that money. Because you want solutions. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take solutions. And I think we all want them. I think even the folks who may say things with which I disagree, I think ultimately, though, what they want is they want solutions to the problem. And I understand that. People are urging you to wear fatigue, camouflage, because they want solution. People are urging you to stop traveling, that's because they want solutions. I understand that. Mind you, they might, those things in and of themselves, to my mind, may not be the solution, but what people are saying is they want solutions. Okay? I say Minister Monroe, tell people, man, let's spend that money, man. Let's get them resources. Let's mobilize what we have to mobilize. Do what we have to do. Think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment. You have a whole population, 400,000 people, that has probably less than 1,000 people who are branding the whole nation, who are casting the entire nation into a state of utter alarm. You are the government. On an annual basis, you will collect over $3 billion in resources. $3 billion. You have at your disposal 22,000 personnel. Amongst them, thousands of police officers, hundreds of defense force officers. Equipment in the multiple millions of dollars. That's you. You have intelligence we don't even talk about. That's why people want you to use it and make a difference. Use it and make a difference. All right, that's the government. You know, opposition? You better think about if the opportunity presents itself to you, how would you do it? Because trust me, it is quite possible that if you should succeed as government, you will confront the same problem, same issue. And guess what? If you're not careful, people are going to say, oh, but when you were in opposition, you used to say X, Y, and Z. You all could fix it. These people ain't fixing it, etc. You want to repeat that cycle? Or do you want to be busy readying yourself for it? They say, this text is angry with you 100%. We say there's a backlog in cases. Then build a new courthouse. Oh, sorry. It says agree with you 100%. We say there's a backlog in cases. Then build a new courthouse and hire 100 lawyers from around the world to come here and clear the backlog. Spend the money. If money is a solution to getting resources that are required, spend the money. If that's what it is, spend the money. All right? Do what you gotta do. Listen, you've been on the force for years and years and years and years. You got experience. Now, y'all don't get mad at me, okay? Please, don't get mad at me. So I've spoken to some officers. And there are some officers who believe that things are too political on our force. They aren't just talking about now, even though they are talking about now, but they're talking about even sometimes before. Things are too political. People get promotions, people get movements because of their politics. This is, please don't get angry with me. I tell you no lie. I'm telling you what God has truth has been represented to me. So they tell me that some part of the challenge sometimes is that people get demotivated, that they get discouraged because they feel like their worth, their value, their experience, their expertise don't come to bear in positions where it ought to because they are overlooked, et cetera, et cetera. I understand that. And anybody who says, oh, you're a professional, you should get over it, et cetera. No, you're a human being. I understand that. I understand that that can happen. But we need you, man. We need you, man. So honestly, right? Like, to me? Okay, let me back up. If you are my age or older, you lived in the Bahamas in the late 70s and 80s. True or not true? You did. You lived. You were conscious and aware. Did we not have in that period an immense drug trafficking problem? Oh, the Bahamas was like a wild, wild west, man. All the drug dealers just running up and down, the fanciest cars, fanciest ninja motorbikes, Rolex watches, the fanciest clothes, flying up and down on airplanes and so forth and so forth. People were getting shot and people were getting kidnapped and the drugs were flowing and flowing and flowing. Y'all remember that? Or am I talking nonsense? Somebody, before I go on, somebody tell me you lived in the 80s, in the 70s. You lived in that period. Tell me if I'm talking nonsense. It was like a wild, wild west in the Bahamas. Somebody text say, absolutely. I was like a wild, wild west in the Bahamas. This person say the good old days, good old days. Bro, they were some terrible days. The many of children, their admiration was for the drug dealer. Many of the young men, their employment was through the drug dealer. Crack cocaine was rampant. We had more people strung out and it didn't matter. If you came from so-called good families or so-called bad families, from heads of organizations to typical human beings on the street, crack cocaine was everywhere. It was terrible. It was bad. It was awful. I mean, yeah. Plenty of people was having a good time, too. I ain't telling a lie. Plenty of people was having a good time. But y'all remember those days, right? Or is Chicago line talking nonsense? And the drugs is just pouring through the Bahamas. Let me ask you a question. All right, y'all remember those days? How come those days don't exist no more? How come those days don't exist no more? Ask yourself that question. Why do we not have what we had in the 80s and the late 70s anymore? Say, many of the young men were like zombies. That is correct. You remember walking around scratching themselves. With all these blisters, all they dehydrated and the spit all in the side of their thingam. They smell. There's a smell they have. You remember? How come we don't have them days no more? You wanna know why? Because public policy applied itself to that problem with international cooperation and quelched the situation. That's why resources were pointed in that direction in a meaningful and sustained way until that thing had been substantially killed. That's why it happened. Police officers in the Bahamas, the police officers in the Bahamas, the defense force officers in the Bahamas applied themselves are, and they were effectively, with their international partners, able to squelch that situation. You think that can happen again? You think we cannot, they cannot do that again? Of course they could. Of course they could. Yeah, I said we had international assistance. It wasn't just Interpol. We had the assistance of the United States of America, a cooperative effort with the United States of America to do that. We did. My point is, we looked at the problem, decided it needed to be resolved, and we got whatever it took to do that. That was when the when we started the confiscated drug fund and all these kinds of stuff. What kind of things came up? Right? My point is, we successfully dealt with that problem. Successfully dealt with it. Because we were focused, we were resourced, we cooperated and worked with others to get it done. And we can do that again. We can do it again if we apply ourselves. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, Marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy on his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The RF Economic Outlook returns on March 13th at Ba Mar under the theme, Age of Intelligence, Harnessing the Power. Hear from the expert speakers on AI, how it's impacting our daily lives, the threats and opportunities that abound. Join over 200 professionals at the networking event of the year as we explore this and more global trends impacting local businesses. Reserve your seat today to take advantage of early bird discounts before they're gone. Register now at rfbeo.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
I'm back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, as the show goes on, my fatigue level rises, right? Not because of the show, but just the nature of my recovery process. So if you hear me dip a little bit, that's just the reality of what I'm dealing with. Listen, some days I want you, some days I'm painful, but boy, I prefer this pain than the pain of having to contend with metastatic cancer in my body. So I remain ever grateful, and I am definitely making progress and coming along. This text says, excellent show again, Mr. Lang. Mr. Lang, Anton obviously needs a dictionary. He clearly doesn't understand. I read an old message here. The text says, Mr. Lang, that era when the cocaine was so prevalent in the country was so bad. I pray we never get there in this country again, but here we are again knocking on that same door. This time it's called fentanyl. This text says, ain't nothing changed, Bishop. You think not? But I'm talking to it says, man, you can't live in that. You must be a younger person, eh? You couldn't have lived in that area and era and say nothing changed. So the drug problem still exists, but as you noted, we have been able to reduce the problem significantly. Oh yeah, the drug problem still exists. No, drug trafficking and drug issues still exist. You're right, but you know it ain't the same as back in them days. If you live that and know that, you know it's not. Say hey, and we spent the money and say take it easy, man. Yeah, take it easy. All is good. I'm an eternal optimist. I really am. I don't despair easily. I do not believe that we are in an insurmountable situation. I believe that Prime Minister and his colleagues have the means and wherewithal to address this problem. I do. I can't say that they will. I only know that they can. I believe that. But I'm optimistic, generally speaking, but optimism doesn't solve crime. Optimism doesn't address issues. It gives you the energy. It gives you the motivation. But it doesn't itself address issues. You have to apply the required attention, resources, and action to the issue. And that is what tends to get you more often than not results. Do I believe we will end up with no more murders at some point, even if we applied the necessary actions? I do not. Do I believe we will end up with less murders? I do. And in the process, some people will lose their freedom. Some people will be confronted in ways that may result in their demise. Some people, us, generally might find that the way we were able to move about might be curbed. But I believe it's possible. This is not an uncontainable problem. It is, in fact, a problem whose audience, both victims and perpetrators, have a profile. They have a profile. And we may not like the profile, but they have a profile. And you start there. It's not a 400,000 people problem. It's not even a 200,000 people problem. It isn't even a 50,000 people problem. It's not even a 10,000 people problem. It's probably not even a 1,000 people problem. It is a problem. Now, if we, and by we, I mean parents in the Bahamas and guardians in the Bahamas and neighborhoods and neighbors in the Bahamas, don't take stock of our collective behavior. It could be a much broader problem than it is now. But we have a containable problem. We have a containable problem because the grouping, perpetrator and victim, largely has a profile. Start there. Start there. When you're looking for serial killers, profile them. Profile them. And then you're profiling. You get a sense of, okay. So this is the characteristic. This is the general locale from which this is the, okay, boom, shakalaka, no. What do I do with those who fit that profile? How do I get to them? How do I demonstrate them, bro, I'm watching you. Yes, I am. I am watching you. I tell some and some I don't dare. Because I'm watching them anyhow. Why? Because you got a monitor. By the way, we in the community, we are helpful because we got more eyes than the police. We have more ears than the police. We have more tongues than the police. So we're going to help. So the police have a couple of thousand on the force, but with us, they got tens of thousands on the force. We're working with them. Why? We're trying to save the lives not only of the citizens, other citizens. We trying to save your life. We trying to save your life, not save your life merely in the sense that we are stopping you from being killed. We want to save your life toward the realization of the great potential that Almighty God has for you. And I know some of you don't believe that. I know people, you've been listening to people tell you all kind of religious things, and you've been listening and seeing hypocrisy here and hypocrisy there. Yeah, fine, but you ain't seeing no hypocrisy in the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't seeing no hypocrisy in Almighty God. And I'm telling you, there is immense potentiality that exists in your life. And there are people who have passed your way who could tell you that. I like Carlos Reed. Huh? I like Brother Fox. Do I lie to Dr. Dave Burrows? I don't lie about that. They have passed through some things and they have seen how God has enabled them to create, to realize their great potential. Right? Michael Bindad will tell you that. He talks about it a lot when he speaks to young people, the realities of his life when he was at Aaron Bailey and the struggles and challenges he had, but turned his life around. And so many others can vouch for it. So it's not merely a saving of a life so you don't die physically, but it's a saving of life so you live spiritually, emotionally, mentally, intellectually, and thrive in a world that needs and could benefit from your positive behavior and conduct. Some of these gentlemen in prison. Man, they know what reform is. They know. Somebody gets some people say, oh, you can't be reformed in prison. Yes, some of them know. I know it's a journey and a struggle when you get out, but I know some of them know what it means to have a different mindset. I've heard from some of them. Some of them have written me. right? He's a young man, man. These young people, young men. Mommy, daddy, you failed them. You failed them, man. Go back to them and confess your failure and see if you can persuade them. Let's together change. Let's together mend our ways. You know, my children have seen letters from me where I have written my own children or notes. I voicemailed my children acknowledging where I have failed them, where I didn't do things the way I could have and should have with them, even in my parenting. And I asked them to forgive my children. He's a very decent man. Like, man, all of us have failed or messed up from time to time. Even if it ain't, in quote, in any major way, as we say, but it had an impact. Right? And all we need, what is useful to do, turn it around, parent, turn it around, guardian, turn it around, neighbor, turn it around, son, turn it around, daughter, turn it around, PM, turn it around, minister, turn it around, senator, turn it around, member of parliament, turn it around, justice, turn it around, officers, turn it around, MPs, turn it around, because you can. God has given us the opportunity to do it. And in the end, boom, we get to make a difference. Listen, y'all, take care. God bless you. It's been great. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody.